right, man, I didn't know. National holiday tomorrow, right? Man, I don't know. We'll have to set out some milk and cookies or something like that, right? Tomorrow's the celebration. Brother Don's birthday. Very good. No, that's fun. You bet. All right, well, you know where we're heading, 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. When I worked at a school district in Texas, we had to wear ID badges. And not only was it our ID badge, it was also our door swipe, so we could get in and out. And so as a maintenance guy, it was pretty important, because some of the doors, we switched them to only the key card, right? And so it turned out I broke mine, and I had to go tell the lady at the administration. I'm like, man, I gotta have a new card. And she said, well, what happened to it? And I said, well, you know, maybe you didn't hear it in the news, but you know, there was a school bus full of kids, and man, the brakes went out on that bus, and it just so happened I was close by, and I ran, and I got in front of that bus, and I stopped it as best I could. Well, we ended up going off the cliff, and we landed in the water, and we got all those kids out of there, and sometime during that, my badge broke. And she said, so what really happened? I said, well, actually, I leaned forward on the golf cart, and I snapped it between my belly and the steering wheel of the golf cart. And I was like, ah, man, I was hoping you'd take the first story, right? Well, this last week, I had another story, and I broke my glasses. And I was like, ah, here we go. And so I won't even bore you with a fake story. My 8-month-old baby broke it. He grabbed him up, and he grabbed him in his hand, and he broke my glasses, and I was like, you know, that really doesn't make me feel very manly, but it happened, all right? So you guys are a little off in my vision today because it's kind of pulling to the left, so I think we need a vision alignment, all right? And that had nothing to do with anything, so I just thought I'd tell you that funny story, all right? 2 Kings chapter number 5. Now, as we'll continue on with the story, we'll begin reading in verse number 19. And so let's just suffice it with a few words. I know some were out this morning in different areas of ministry. But we'll suffice it to say this, that ultimately Naaman first came because he thought he had it all together. And he came with his resources. He came with his, I am somebody. I am the general of the Syrian army. And ultimately what it took for him to be healed was some humility. And because he did exercise humility, finally, God healed him of leprosy and did a great work. And I hope we went over that a little bit and all that and made some application from the story. But I just want you to know, and I want you to think about the fact that isn't it amazing work that God did in Naaman's life? Don't you think that Naaman is thankful for this account? I am thankful for it for myself because I learned something from it. But as we just conclude that portion of the story, that day changed Naaman's life, right? First of all, his healing, but also, I mean, I believe that from that point on, he had a heart for the Lord. And if you see there, when we talked about the last portion of Scripture, verse 17, 18, and 19, that area, he ultimately said, hey, my job requires me to be around some of this idol worship, but there's only one true God, and I know who he is now. And so that work was accomplished and did a great work. Now, what are you saying that for? Okay. Can I remind you of the man walking on the seashore? And it turned out that there was this massive amount of starfish that ended up somehow washed up on the beach to the point where he's literally, I mean, the whole beach is just covered in starfish everywhere. And so there was a man literally standing there, and he's throwing starfish back into the sea. And a guy walking on the pier around that area looked at him and said, what are you doing? There's no way you can get all those back. And he said, no, I can't get them all back. But I at least got that one back. I at least got that one back. And I got that one back. Now, my point being is that on this day, Naaman's life was changed. And we're thankful for that. But as we begin to read our passage today from verse 20, there is a blight on this story. And I hate to say of who it's from, but there is, as we say now, the rest of the story. So in verse number 19, the Bible says, "And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way." Now that's Naaman and Elisha. Elisha said, "Go in peace." But Gehazi, all right, that's not how the story wants to start. Okay, but that's how it goes. "But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master hath spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him." So Gehazi followed after Naaman, and when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chariot to meet him and said, "Is all well?" And he said, "All is well. My master hath sent me." Now again, Gehazi is talking about Elisha. Okay? So Elisha is who he's talking about. "My master hath sent me, saying, Behold, even now there be come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments." And Naaman said, "Be content, take two talents." And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants. And they bare him, he bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them into the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. And Elisha said unto him, "Whence comest thou, Gehazi?" And he said, "Thy servant went no whither." And he said unto him, "Went not my heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Is it a time to receive money, and to receive garments, and olive yards, and vineyards, and sheep, and oxen, and men servants, and maid servants? Here it is. The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and unto thy seed forever." And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. So as we see in the first part of this whole of this chapter, we see a miraculous story of a man who was in pride and in arrogance, be humbled, and end up receiving healing, and ultimately we could say receiving the Lord. Now we come to the part of the story where now this servant of Elisha, Gehazi, he just does something dumb. He misses it. He completely misses what it is that was trying to be accomplished. And so as we look today, the truth of the matter is, I'm preaching this message to me. We're talking about Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. I don't think it's far-fetched at all to look at this as even kind of a pastor, an assistant pastor type of role. And I'll show it to you, and we'll look in just a second. But I'm preaching this message to me. And you say, then why am I here? Right? Well, as I would definitely quote our pastor when he's talking about from Titus, the qualifications of a pastor, that those are qualifications that a pastor must be, but they are qualifications that we all should be working to live by, right? Okay? So I'm looking at this passage of Scripture, and I'm like, Mark, that's you, okay? Now, I don't want to be Gehazi, I'll tell you that much, okay, right up hand. But I also will take some application of this about my personal role as an assistant to our pastor, okay? But here's the truth. Who should be assisting the pastor of our church? Every member of our church should be, okay? So I all of that to say, like, this is right here, man. I see it, me. But I hope you can see that it can be you as well, okay? And so that's our lesson this afternoon. So let's go, Lord, in prayer, and then we'll go on. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. We thank you for what you've accomplished in our hearts already. God, we thank you for our Sunday school time this morning. God, we thank you for it. We thank you for the service. And God, we pray that you would do a work in our hearts this afternoon as well. So God, we thank you again for your many blessings. We thank you for the opportunity to gather with our church family. And God, we thank you for these services. God, truthfully, people miss out when they miss out on the times that we gather together. And so, God, I just pray that you'd help us today. God, as we'll hear from the missions letter in a little while, God, we do pray for our missionaries. We pray that you'd help them. And God, we pray that you'd use this text in our lives today. In Jesus' name, amen. So Gehazi, he is the servant of Elisha, and he's been able to see a lot of different things. If you go back to chapter number 4, a miracle is done there. One of them was at the first part of chapter number 4, is when the prophet was telling the widow lady about the oil, in the sense of she didn't have any resources. And so the prophet said, hey, you gather up all the pots that you can, you bring it together, and the cruse of oil will not run out so that you fill all the pots. And what that miracle was ultimately provision for her life, okay? She had nothing, and yet she had no resources, she had no money, she didn't have those things, and she was about to just finish up with death, was that where she was looking at, okay? And the prophet said, hey, you borrow all the pots that you can, all right? And the cruse of oil is going to keep pouring until all the pots are full, okay? And so it was a miracle that was done. Now, not only that, but also there was the widow lady who had a son, okay? And that's in chapter number 4, and the son dies. And so she comes to the prophet and she says, I have no one else, and now my son is dead, okay? Now, if you remember, Elisha then lays on top of the boy and ends up bringing him back to life. Now, of course, it wasn't Elisha. We know it was the Lord, okay? But this miracle is happening. Now, what is your point? Gehazi was there during all that. Gehazi has seen miracles. He's seen God do a great mighty work through the prophet Elisha, who he's been able to be his servant, okay? So it's not like Naaman is the first one, okay? So he's seen quite a few things. The Lord has allowed him to see multiple things. And here it is, what happens is that through different circumstances, we'll see that what Gehazi does is he looks at Naaman after he's walking away, and Elisha said, I'm not taking anything from you. Because remember, he needed to be humbled. Elisha didn't take a single thing from Naaman because the work of God was not for sale. We talked about that. Okay? And so the point of all of that was Elisha knew what Naaman needed. But what Gehazi did is he saw an opportunity. So the story goes that now Naaman is leaving. Elisha didn't take a single thing from him. Naaman is leaving, and Gehazi says, hold on a second. He brought a lot of silver. He brought a lot of gold with him, and he brought raiment with him. Because he was there. He might have been even the servant that went to Naaman and told him what Elisha said. Might have been him. And so he says, he leaves. And that's why in verse number 19 he says, go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. So Naaman is leaving to go back to Syria. And Gehazi says, oh, let me go and talk to him. So he goes and he talks to Naaman. And he said, and so that's where Naaman gets off his chariot. And he says, hey, is all well? And Gehazi says, all is well. All is well. But my master has sent me. So he's saying, Elisha has sent me. And what we need now is, we actually need some of that stuff that you offered us. We need a talent of silver. And we need 2 changes of raiment, because we have some sons of the prophets. So we could term it this way. We got some Bible college students, okay? We'll see that in chapter number 6. I mean, that's what it is. The sons of the prophets are people who are training to serve the Lord, okay, to be prophets. And what he says to Naaman is, he says, hey, we need that talent of silver. We need those two changes of raiment for these guys that are here with him. Okay, we'll show that in our text, that those sons of the prophets were with him, those servants of Gehazi, the servant of Elisha. You understand? So Elisha's here, Gehazi's his servant, and Gehazi's got a couple servants as well. And they're with him. Okay? So Naaman, having this massive experience that he just had, he ends up, he says, hey, I'm not going to give you one talent of silver, I'll give you two. Right? If there's two people that need raiment, man, I'll give you two silver. You give a silver to each one of them as well. And here's the raiment. So what happens is Gehazi then takes the items with the two servants that are with him, and they head back. Now what Gehazi does is he now tells the servants who the items were supposedly for. He says, let me have those, and I'll take those. So he takes the silver, and he takes the raiment, and he goes, and he puts them in the house. Elisha looks at him, and he says, what you doing, Gehazi? Nothing. Really? Where you been? Nowhere. Nowhere. That's literally what the text, verse 25, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. Right? I went no whither. Where were you? Right here. Man, I've been here the whole time. Right? Okay. So then what Elisha says is this. I know where you've been. I know what you've done. I know what's going on. And because of that, what we find in the last verse, verse 27, the leprosy that was plaguing Naaman was now going to be on Gehazi. And not just him, it was going to be a generational curse. Now, after all that we heard from the story previous to that, this is a real bummer. It's a real bummer in the sense of this, that all that was done, first of all, let me just say this, Naaman still knows the Lord. Okay? What a blessing. Okay? Naaman still has met the Lord. He still was cleansed from his leprosy. And what a wonderful story that is. Okay? But what we see here is a servant who really just messed up all the stuff that just took place. And what happens is because of a few points. And so we're just going to go right into the points from the passage that will help us. And number one is this. Gehazi was governed by his own lusts. Do you know why Gehazi wanted the silver and the raiment? Because he wanted it. Because he wanted it. He coveted after it. He looked at it in verse number 20, but Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master hath spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. What I did is when I was studying through this, I read right into chapter number 6. And if you go to chapter number 6, what we find is that the sons of the prophets were actually, they were out of space in their living quarters, okay? So that's what continues in chapter number 6. And so when I first read that, my thought was, oh, you know what? Probably Gehazi just got off in his mentality, and he was thinking, oh, we can use those resources for the school of the prophets. And I'll just be honest with you, that's what I thought for a minute, okay? And I'm like, he probably had good intentions that just went awry. And then I just read the Bible. That usually helps. Let me tell you how to interpret the Bible. Just read the Bible. It helps. All right? But ultimately, I read it, and it says, and take somewhat of him. This is what happened. Gehazi started seeing all the stuff that he brought, and he said, I want some of that. I want some of that. Gehazi was governed by his own lusts. Gehazi only cared about himself. Here's the problem. I want that. That's what I want. I want the silver. I want the raiment. I want those things. Elisha missed out. That's what he's saying. He missed out on this opportunity, and I'm not going to miss out. I'm not going to miss out. He had no concern for Naaman or Elisha. No concern. He was governed by his own lusts. You know what the problem is? The problem is that in a church setting, which I meant to tell you earlier, I'm sorry, I jumped ahead a little bit. But let me just remind you in 2 Timothy 3 that the Bible talks about when Paul is admonishing Timothy, a young preacher. When we look at 2 Timothy 3, you know what, let's just turn there. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, I don't want to mess it up. So 2 Timothy chapter number 3, because you're saying, well, you're applying Old Testament to New Testament ways, okay, and you're 100% right. But what I'm saying is that we can use this as a lesson to help us to understand. And so what I mean by 2 Timothy 3 is that here we are in the New Testament, and what Paul tells Timothy as encouraging him as a young preacher in the Lord, he says in verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Here we go. That the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. What I mean is this, that while we're looking at an Old Testament passage about Elisha, he is a prophet, but ultimately he is a preacher in the sense of this, that he's a man of God. And so when we're applying this, this is why I'm saying this does apply. I am not saying that Elisha is a New Testament pastor, okay? I understand what testament he's in. But I am saying these things will help us as in our role as assisting our pastor, as the sense of Gehazi was to be assisting the man of God, Elisha, okay? And what happens in the breakdown is this, that Gehazi turns his eyes off of the ministry, he turns his eyes away from the Lord, and he puts it on his own lusts. It's what he wants. Can I just tell you that in our church, we're going to have to fight this mentality of Gehazi of saying this, it's all about me. It's about me. I don't think, whatever. It's silly in some ways, but it happens. I mean, I've heard people walk out of a church because they didn't like the carpet color that they put in. And you know how that happens? Is by having a hazy mentality of saying, it's about what I want. Now, in this message, let me be very clear. We are not saying blind allegiance to somebody that is completely away from the Lord, okay? We're not. But what we are talking about is this, is that what can happen as an assistant pastor of a church, in my role, I can get my eyes off of the ministry, I can get my eyes off of the Lord, and I begin to make it all about what I want. And let me just tell you, it doesn't turn out good. I said this to somebody the other day, and that is this, that anything with two heads or more is a monster. I think I was talking to you, Brother Rob. Anything with more than one head is a monster, right? You see some of those movies or silly cartoons, and it's like, oh, here's this snake with like 32 heads coming out of it, and you're like, that's a monster, okay? What can happen is this, that while God is doing a great work, and he did a great work in Naaman's life, Gehazi said, I see an opportunity for this to be about me. And what can happen is we can have that mentality. So we want to fight against that. Can I just be reminded? Can I remind you of this? That Central Baptist Church is here for the Lord. That's what it's here for. God has called this assembly together for us to reach the lost world, to encourage one another as fellow believers. We have a mission given to us by God. And what can happen is when we take our eyes off of what the main thing is, we can begin to make it about us. And Gehazi said, I'm going to make this about me. What can I get from this? Now, truth be told is we all have needs. Right? Anybody? No? Oh, hey, I'm glad you got it all figured. No, I'm just teasing. All right? The truth is we all have needs. Okay? And that doesn't negate the fact and the reality that we have needs. But what happens is this. I do understand this in a marriage. That if I will make it my goal to look after Linda, and Linda makes it her goal to look after me, in our marriage, who's taken care of? Everybody. And what happens is this, that in a church family, serving the Lord, we all have needs. But if we'll, as the New Testament talks about, defer and prefer, that means I defer my own ambitions and I prefer someone else. And if we'll do that, ultimately what will happen is we'll all be taken care of. But what happens is we get our eyes off of helping others and we get to the point where it's saying, what can I get from this? I have seen assistant pastors of churches destroy their church and split it right down the middle when that person decided to make it about them. And here's the truth. We're all capable of that. So the point is not to land blast. The point is to put out some things out there that we say, and I got to steer away from that. I don't want to go down that trail. Okay? Because we'll finish up. It does not turn out good for Gehazi. So what we see is this. He was governed by his own lust. Number two, Gehazi made Elisha look like an unstable man. Gehazi made Elisha look like an unstable man. Why? Because Elisha first told him, we don't need anything. Right? So in our story earlier in the main service this morning, we talked about that Elisha said, I'm not taking a single thing from you. Okay? And here's what ends up happening. Gehazi says, hey, so Elisha changed his mind. Did Elisha change his mind? No. No. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, is what the book says, right? So it's interesting here that Gehazi makes Elisha look like an unstable man, okay? He undermined all that Elisha was trying to accomplish. He undermined it. Elisha knew that Naaman needed humility and not trust in his riches or his assets, okay? It wasn't. But what Gehazi made Elisha look like was that, oh, well, Elisha first said that he didn't want anything. He wasn't going to take a single thing. And now he comes to him, but Gehazi, verse 20, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, behold, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian in not receiving at the hands of the Lord. Okay, verse 21. So Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from his chariot to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master hath sent me. What happened is this, that Gehazi undermined all that Elisha was doing in his ministry. He was undermining it. Now, we understand what that looks like. We can undermine the work of God whenever we begin to come out and we begin to undermine people and undercut things. Let me show you this way. You know what happens sometimes is you leave the parking lot, family, driving in the car. We have a real long commute, so we have lots of... But sometimes you gather together in your car, and sometimes you're talking about what happened in the service, right? And maybe somebody pipes up, and let's be honest, sometimes it comes from the back seat because kids are a lot more noticing than we give them credit for. And that kid will pipe up in the back and was like, hey, pastor said this in the service, and you've been doing that. Anybody ever had that besides me? All right, come on. Let's be real. All right? Sometimes I'm like, boy, hush. Okay? You know, whatever it was, you know, oh, pastor said we're supposed to be nice to each other, and you were not nice to that guy that cut you off. And you can hush. That's what can happen. Okay? So we understand that in the sense of maybe pastor's preaching away and something that is not unbiblical, but it's something that we see different. And what can happen is this, we can undermine it by saying, well, that's just preacher talk. Well, you know, preacher, he's got to be pretty fanatical. He's a pastor by all means. And what happens is we're undercutting him. You see, Gehazi made Elisha look like an unstable man to those around. Well, man, he's just kind of off his rocker. Really? Because Elisha was doing the work of God. And what Gehazi did is he made him look like an unstable person. He undermined him. And as a church, we have to be very careful. Sometimes this looks like in my role, it can look like this, that it's kind of the whisper after the message. Preacher preaches something, and it's like, okay. And then as in my role as assistant pastor, I can go around, and I can go to Brother Brad here, and I can say, hey, Brother Brad, you know, pastor said that coffee was good, and we know that's wicked, you know. And it's silly when it's silly things, but the problem is it doesn't stop with silly things sometimes. And what can happen is Elisha knew what Naaman needed, and he was following God. And what Gehazi did is he came in and undermined him, kind of kicked his legs out from under him. And we got to be careful to not have that spirit. Now, I don't preach this message as the whole idea of well, you know, as a persistent pastor, I got to make a good united front. I'm telling you, here's the passage that we were in today, and the Lord said, you finish it. That was what it was, okay? So this is not like I'm here to build up Brother Jeremy while he's not here and kind of, you know what I'm saying? Okay? That's not what this message is. What it is that ultimately as a church, our pastor has a responsibility to follow God, but he is not the only one that's supposed to follow God. It's all of us, okay? And what happens is it can get messed up, and here's the biblical example of it, one of them, okay? Number three, something that we learn here is this. Gehazi had a lie to Elisha. Verse 25, but he went in and stood before his master, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. Really? Okay, one part I didn't tell you about a prophet. Do you know what another word in the Bible for a prophet is? It's a seer. S-E-E-R. Okay? And many times, because the word of God wasn't completed, the Lord did work through dreams and visions and things of that nature, to the point that a prophet was also called a seer, which meant this. God literally would speak to the prophet at times and said, hey, you're about to get a knock on the door, and it's going to be this person, okay? And here's what you need to do. Literally, right? Anybody who's a Bible reader, have you not read that in the Old Testament, right? That the prophet has literally, at times, God was speaking to the prophet saying, hey, this is what's about to happen. And then it did. Right? Okay? And Gehazi's been around that whole thing. He's been there, right? He might have been the little one to go to Naaman and said, the prophet says you need to go dip 7 times in the river. I don't know if it'll work either, but that's what he said. Okay, and then Naaman comes back, and he's like, it worked. Okay, so it's like, Gehazi, are you that dumb? I'm sorry, I just had to say it. Are you that dumb? You really don't think he knows what the truth is? Okay, and so ultimately it was truly this, that Gehazi had a lie. Never get involved in anything that you can't be honest about. I wrote it this way. Maybe you've heard it. Honesty is the best policy. You know what can mess up our church? Is when we can't stand before our pastor and tell him the truth. That'll mess it up. But the bigger part was not that Gehazi lied to Elisha. The sin was that Gehazi lied to God. What? Yeah. Our sin is against the Lord. Lying is a sin. That's right. And it's against the Lord. And so Gehazi had to lie about Elisha. So we have to be truthful. If this thing's going to work at all, we have to be honest. I told the teens and youth today that I reminded them again that maturity is not an age. Because I turned 16, I'm mature. Because I turned 18, I'm mature. Because I turned 21, I'm mature. That has nothing to do with maturity. Truthfully, it has nothing to do with maturity. Maturity is when we begin to take responsibility for our own actions. That's where maturity comes in. And many times what happens is in our own spirits we begin to be fearful. Why did Gehazi lie? Because first of all, he knew what he was doing was wrong. So he had to lie about it. If we ever get to the point if any people on the planet should be truth tellers, it should be church people. And I'm not looking out here saying you're a bunch of liars. I'm not. But I know it in my own spirit that fear can cause me to say, I don't know how that'll turn out if I tell the truth, so I'm not going to. And we let fear rule our lives. Gehazi, was he fearful? I don't know. But what he did know is that what he did was wrong. So because of that, he lied to Elisha. He lied to the man of God. He lied to God. He lied to Naaman, a brand new convert. Somebody who just met the Lord a few moments ago, and now he's like, hey, let me lie to you, bud. That's a bad look on Christianity. Yeah, and it's a bad look when we do it too. Okay? So of all people, church people ought to be truthful people. And so that's why that's the application. In our doings, let's be truthful. Can we stop and say this? Brother Jeremy is a very gracious person. Is very kind, gracious, and a gentleman. And I've been to many other churches, and I've been under pastors, and I've been around. I haven't been to the moon and back, but I've been a place or two. And let me just tell you, that would be dumb to stand there and lie to our pastor. But here's what happens. We get involved with things. Here's what usually happens. And we start talking, and then it's like, oh, I didn't know. Was that truthful? Maybe. Maybe it wasn't. And so we have to be honest. Just be honest. Well, sometimes that paints me in a bad light. Join the crowd. I experienced this just a couple weeks ago when we were driving a bus. You're just talking. No, I'm telling you. We pull in to Mitchell, South Dakota. And I look under the bus and it's leaking oil. And here's the truth. I don't care if whether you struggle with it or not, this is me. I struggle with this because I struggle with fear. Okay? I'm struggling with my inner self saying, should I say something? I don't know. I don't want to. I'm telling you this because I'm not saying like you do it. I'm saying it's a tendency for all of us. And it's something as petty as oil underneath a bus. And I'm struggling. I'm like, well, I don't know, man. Should I say anything? Should I not say anything? I'm like, Brother Jeremy, it's leaking oil. We probably ought to look at it. Yeah, we pulled the dipstick. There wasn't enough oil to get the dipstick yet. You know what happens after that? Major engine failure. And I'm over here like, oh, man, I wasn't sure whether I should have said anything. And I'd seen it. So if to not say anything was to lie. Right? You're being serious about this? I'm telling you, this is real life stuff. This shows up in our daily lives, whether we're worried about, hey, well, if you know, I shouldn't have been doing something, but here I am, and now I'm a mess, and I'm not going to tell pastor about it because, well, you know, that's, no, I don't want it to be fixed. Okay, it doesn't make sense, but the truth is we struggle with honesty, and for this to work, we have to be honest, okay? Number four, here's the problem. He included others in his deception. Gehazi included others in his deception. Verse 23 and 24 talk about the fact that the two servants were with him. Okay, the sons of the prophets, the two of them were with them. Here's how this looks. Misery loves company. Misery loves company. Prove it. Okay. Most of the time, when somebody is upset about something, or doing something they shouldn't, like in this passage of scripture with Gehazi, most of the time, they won't keep it to themselves and walk away. Many people who leave a church do not leave quietly by themselves. Most of the time, they're going to try and get others to go with them. Here's the truth. When it's wicked and when it's wrong and when it's against Scripture, I don't want to be involved in it. I don't want to be involved in it. Growing up as a pastor's kid, everybody in our school district knew I was a pastor's kid because I grew up in a small, small school. I think over the whole entire school, K through 12, there was less than 800 kids, the whole shebang. And so everybody knew each other. The town was 3,500. And I say this, I hope you understand why I'm saying this. I personally have never taken one drink of alcohol in my entire life. Never have. And you say, wow, that's impressive. Let me just tell you, when you're the pastor's kid, you don't get invited to the parties. Right? I say that about Linda every once in a while in this sense. That when Linda and I got married on our wedding day, it was the first time I ever kissed a girl. It was the first time I ever kissed her. And here's the truth. I didn't have girls banging down the door being like, I want to give you a kiss, okay? Let's be real. Okay? Now, what does that have to do with the price of tea in China, right? Okay, here's the truth. That sometimes the fact that we're invited into deception is already kind of a problem. We want to live lives that ultimately are just a testimony of, I'm not going to tell them because they might tell the pastor or whatever, okay? We want to live lives that please the Lord. Please, I'm not bragging about some of the things in my life. Those are decisions, and the only way I accomplished them was through God's help, okay? But I am saying that what happened is Gehazi ended up taking these two servants with him, and more than likely, they could have been completely innocent. But he's like, I'm taking you with me. Okay? All right, and lastly is this. Gehazi brought generational curses to his family line. That's the truth. Gehazi brought generational curse to his life. In verse number 27, the leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence, a leper as white as snow. So Naaman shall cleave unto thee, and shall cleave unto thee the leprosy, and unto thy seed forever. Just never forget that our actions don't just affect us. As assistant pastor of Central Baptist Church in Gillette, Wyoming, my actions don't just affect me. I've got three other members in my specific and direct family. But that's not even where my actions just affect. You ever met somebody who's out of church? And they claim, and I'm not saying it's not true, I'm just saying that they claim the reason why they got out of church was because the church was a mess and they got hurt in the collateral damage. And they say something like this, I'll never go back to church. And here's the truth. Stuff like that does happen. But the goal is that we're not involved in it. That we're not involved in it. Gehazi's children. Gehazi's family is going to have issues generationally because he chose to make it all about him. He chose to lie. He chose to be deceptive. He chose it the moment when he made it all about himself. And many times what we're facing in our country is that families are needing to be rescued from generational dysfunction. That's what God called us to do. You know, I look at the ministry, and the ministry is working to save the lost. That's what it is. That's what all of us should be doing, is that we should be reaching out into our neighborhoods and in our communities and our coworkers, and we're trying to reach our family members. We're trying to reach the lost because they're lost. And so what happens is sometimes lost people are a mess. I was. I grew up in a pastor's family, and I was still a mess. Why? Because I was lost. I was a sinner in need of salvation. And so what we have to understand is that generationally, there are some curses that someone in their family has to decide, we're not doing that anymore. Remember Joshua? What did he say? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And what is taking place is that sometimes there's generational dysfunction. That sometimes families and people who are coming in who get saved, and they want to come in here and find a place where they can learn how to break those generational cycles. And what they don't need is to find a bunch of people in the middle of a mess of making generational dysfunction in our own lives. Now, please, I'm not here again to try and beat people up, to try to berate people, to try to be a jerk, try and get some cool video for online. It's not my desire at all. My goal is this, that our job as members of Central Baptist Church is to assist the man of God as he follows God. And some of these things will get in the way. If we have a spirit of Gehazi, what an incredible chapter. We find a lot of highs, a lot of lows, and at the end of this chapter, we kind of feel like this, I think I need a nap. Hey, there's a lot going on in 2 Kings chapter number 5, right? There is. And sometimes that's how life feels. Hey, there's a lot going on, and there is. Okay? But here's the goal. That when we get out of God's design, we always make a mess. And I've been around churches who are a mess. And here's the thing. People in there have a spirit like Gehazi. And so take this message as caution. We don't want to go down that path. We don't want to go down there. And I would dare say that probably there's testimony of people in this room who've been a part of something that headed down a path like that, and they would say this, that's a mess. And as for me and my house, we want to serve the Lord. And I'm sure, looking around, I know a lot of folks, that's your mentality as well. And for me and my house, we want to serve the Lord. That's right. But the truth is, we're going to have to fight off this spirit of Gehazi sometimes. We're going to have to fight it off, but it's a fight worth fighting for. It'll help us in our walk with the Lord. And it'll help us as a church as we move forward. Maybe forward by, I don't know, faith. Lord, we thank you so much for your many blessings to us. And I pray that you'd help us, God, to see all that Gehazi saw under the ministry of Elisha. God, and to make bad decisions. And I pray that you'd help us to be reminded that we're all capable of doing that as well. And so, God, I pray that we would, out of a fear, sure, a healthy fear, God, that we would desire to just stay close to you, that our eyes would be set on you. God, that as your man follows you, God, I pray that we'd follow him as he follows you. And God, that we'd be following you in our daily lives. And so, God, I pray that you'd help us. Help us to steer clear of the spirit of Gehazi. God, help us to live for you. God, help us to be who you want us to be. We thank you for it. We thank you for the day. God, and we do pray for our pastor. We pray that their time away would be sweet. God, we pray that it would be a time of accomplishment as there's things there that they're working through with their family. And God, I pray that you'd bless them for their labor and their work. So God, I pray that you